Okay, good morning.
Get out of the way, Eichler.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today? Baruch Hashem, it's good to be back after a two-week hiatus, although we had a special Shabbos version on the Shabbason. We can chaz that later. So, Yosef Atzadik, you have to, Rabbi Kalish always says, you have to become what's called a visual learner, which means you don't just read the Chumash, but you have to really appreciate and understand the storyline as it happens and kind of put yourself in their shoes to appreciate what's happening. So, like, we all know that Yosef becomes the viceroy next week already. So we're not worried about what happens to Yosef. And we kind of think, like, you know, we're not as invested in Yosef's demise from the family this week as we should be. And Yosef gets thrown into a pit. They sell him off to the... Who sells him? It's a big question. Machlekes Rashi Rishbam, whether it was the Midyanim who sold him to the Ishmaelim or the brothers who sold him to the Ishmaelim. Midyanim who sold him to the Ishmaelim. But either way, the brothers did throw him into the pit. Either way, he was sold. Either way, he had to go away from his family. And Yosef, in his mind's eye, even may have thought that his father was part of this plot. If you think about it, right? Look at it from Yosef's perspective. His father says, Yosef, do me a favor, go check up on your brothers. And Yosef's got to be saying, why do you want me to check up on my brothers? You know they don't like me. And yet, Yosef does all this, and then Yosef gets sold as a slave, and he's traveling down to Egypt. And Rashi says something, if you look at the story that way, like through Yosef's perspective, and then Rashi tells us, V'hinei b'mechiris Yosef, it writes, V'hinei orchas Yishmaelim ba'ar, Megillat, u'gmaleihem noisim, nuchuas tsari, velot, holchem lahorin mitzrayim. What were they carrying, these caravans, as they brought Yosef down to Egypt? Spices. They were carrying spices. So Rashi says, why were they carrying spices? Lama pirsim akosav es masa'am. Why did Mefar say this, publicize this? Who cares what they were selling? Right? What's the difference? So says Rashi, lo'odiyam matn scharin shel tzadikim. To notify us about the reward for tzaddikim. Normally they carry stuff like tar and stuff like that, that has a very bad smell. But for Yosef, I made it good. So you shouldn't be damaged by the evil, foul smell of all the stuff they normally smell. Now think about this. You, Yosef. Your family abandons you. They sell you as a slave. But don't worry about it, Givaldik, it's a nice smelling pit. I mean, Lahavdil Elif Avdolis, could you imagine, like, on the way to the concentration camps, like, okay, but at least it's got a nice smell to it. Like, really? Like, this is what, Yosef is thinking that his whole world is over, the whole world is against him, he lost everything, but it had a nice smell. When you understand the Rashi in that context, it requires us to delve deeper to try to understand what's happening to Yosef and how, what message is the Torah trying to share with us. You hear the kasha. So in Rabbi Yeruah, I remembered this. Thank God, I don't know. I never remember. You know, like sometimes you see a word on Pesach on a parsha, you see it on Shavuos, and it goes back. So you forget when it comes to the parsha, you forget. So in my head, all of a sudden Monday morning, I realized that this story was from Pesach, and in the Charosas Vort of Rabbi Yeruah Molshin from Lakewood, he has these beautiful svarim Yerech Lamadim there. He has a beautiful idea that I want to share. So he says, in the name of Rav Mordechai Pragamansky. I don't know who that is. If you know who that is, let me know. He says, the big oymak here. There's a big depth. What? There's a big depth here. That at the time of sometimes we have what's called Hester Padim. We think that God is not engaged with us. There's a time of Hester Padim in our lives. In our lives, we always go through dark moments. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, even in those times of Hester Padim, gives us a little bit of light. There's a little bit of Haaretz Panim, so that we know that even in those moments of great darkness, Hashem is with us. But it's there. You have to see that. We go through these tragic, depressing, difficult moments, but in those very moments, if you peer carefully, you'll be able to see the hand of Hashem, that Hashem, Amnam Zachar Tizkor Shlo Azavtich V'lo Azavecha, Hashem doesn't abandon us ever. We say, I'll never forget this. You always know this pasuk, we say it all the time. But after 9/11, George Bush got up to speak to the Olam. And he says, what did George Bush share with the United States of America 9/11 that night? Gam ki elech begeit salmaves, lo ira ra ki ate imadi. Even as I walk in the shadow of death, he said in English, not Hebrew, even as I walk in the shadow of death, don't be scared because I'm with you there as well. George Bush said that. don't know if you remember.
I remember that?
9/11. And I remember my mother-in-law commenting, it's funny, in Eretz Yisrael, there's terrorist attacks all the time, but nobody ever reflects and thinks of Tehillim at that particular moment. And it's ironic that in America, they said Tehillim. But I remember like that, even in our own personal lives, there are many moments in which we say, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happening to me. But in those moments, in those difficult moments, those are the moments we're supposed to say, look, where's that sliver of light that's shining on me that I could see the Yad Hashem, because it's always there. And that's the challenge that we have. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is never doing anything to us that's negative. It may be negative in our human eyes, but in the scheme of things, somehow, you know, there's a light. And you can never share this with anybody in the moment of their darkness. You can't. Because then you're saying there is no darkness. But as a hashkafa, as a value system, this has to be the value system. I'll never forget, there's a beautiful poem here. It's not a Jewish poem, but it's a poem called Footprints. It's a well-known poem. I saw this once in my somebody's house whose husband had abandoned her. And she had this poem on the wall. It's a one night I dreamed a dream. As I walked along the beach with my God, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. Three sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me and one belonged to the God. After the last scene of life, my life flashed before me. The last scene of my life, it flashed before me. I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there's only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. He says, Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk, whatever, I don't want to read the whole, you know, the Christian part, but whatever. He whispered, so how come there's only one set of footprints? So he whispered, my precious child, I love you and I'll never leave you. Never ever during your trials of testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was that I carried you. Right? So that's what I'm saying. It's that I carried you in those difficult moments. Rabbi Nachman says, well, it became famous because it was a song that was a number of years ago. Afilu ba'astara, shebesai chastara, even in the depths and the darkest times, right? That afilu sham, that even there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shine his light on us. Right? So it's hard. Because we're in those moments, we don't recognize it, but you have to create this hashkafa for yourself that you're able to see it. Chanukah is coming up. I'll translate the Chanukah. Chanukah, this is the message of Chanukah. What do we say in Chanukah? So Chanukah is always this time of year. It's no coincidence. Now, whenever Chanukah appears, right? What time is Shabbos today? 4:09? 4:09, which means Shki is 4:27, which is the earliest Shki you can get. Anywhere in the northern hemisphere, this is true. Right? It's the darkest time. And the lights are a light that in the darkest time, we need light. And again, that's on a literal level, but on a figurative level, it's much true. What was the objective of the Greeks? The entire objective of the Greeks was to reject God from us. They made us put on the Karen Ashur, on the horns of the bull. They wanted to write, Ki en lecha Yisrael chelek be'elokei mimal. Such a funny way to expression. There is no portion that the Jews have in God above. Why is it they say have no chelek? Because the chelek is the sliver of light that Lord, that God shines on us in the period of darkness. Chelek is only a portion. It's not the whole thing. And the Greeks wanted to get rid of every sliver of hope that we have. That, look, there's a gullus, and it's going to be dark, but there's no hope. That's what the Greeks wanted. There's no hope. And what did the whole Chashmonim battle was? It was a battle to see the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu amidst the darkness. Because we all know that Purim and Greek, Purim and Chanukah are fundamentally different. Purim, they wanted to annihilate us physically, but when it came to Chanukah, we know that the Yevanim wanted to annihilate us spiritually. And they wanted to remove all aspects of light from our lives, the light, of course, of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what they wanted to do. And a chelek, there's not even a chelek. But what gets us through the darkness is that we know that Yosef HaTzadik knew that he saw the spices. We see moments of happiness amongst the darkness. This vart is not such an easy vart anymore in America when everything is going great. But traditionally, throughout the Gullus, it's always been dark. I don't mean physically dark. It's a little bit. Maybe, you know, everybody's got their own perspective.
Oh, right? I don't mean in a political. I mean, yeah. On Jews.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, you have these things. Yeah. And in darkness, 100%. You got to see the light. You have to see the light that shines through. And that's the message of Chanukah that comes specifically in the middle of the winter in the longest nights. In the longest nights, in the long gullus. We need a Chanukah to get us through. Chanukah, of course, is the Yom Tov of the gullus. It's the Yom Tov of the gullus. Matter of fact, my first year I heard from Rabbi Weinberg, I'll never forget it. First year I was listening in a Walkman with a tape. back in 1996, and I was on a bus, and he was speaking, it was, that the Gemara in Yuma asks that there are no more miraculous events after Purim. So, what do you mean? Am I Hanukkah? What's Hanukkah? So the Gemara says, that's a miracle of Torah Shebaal Peh, and Hanukkah is a and Purim's a miracle of Torah Shebaal Chsav. Meaning that this is already part of the Gullus period of our lives. We've already, like, left Torah Shebaal Chsav, and now we're in that second Tekufa, so to speak. And in that darkness, there needs to be a light. So it just comes Hanukkah, and it comes at the perfect time. That we see that little schmeck of spice as we're being sent into Gullus. We see that little bit. You know, they give you, like, on Yom Kippur. You know, you always have that old guy walking around, no, and they give you that, snuff. Because we need it in the tough times of Yom Kippur to get you through. It's like the dog days of August. So through our dark days of the Gullus, we need a shtickle of light. And we should enjoy our light that Yosef and Tzaddik shines on us, and we should enjoy our light of Hanukkah. Zayga, Zut, and Shtark, everyone have wonderful shows.
Or you're us.
Yeah, no.
Or if you're us, every day of the baseball season is the day of August. That's right. All right? That's real.